This Obstetrics COVID-19 podcast was recorded on August 13th, 2020. During this unprecedented pandemic, medical professionals have faced lots of changes in the way they provide care. In this series, we'll hear from three OBGYNs as they share their story of what it's like to practice during COVID-19. Today, we're going to talk with Dr. Susanna Walsh, OB Hospitalist at OB Hospitalist Group in New Jersey. This is the Obstetrics Podcast from OB Hospitalist Group. I'm Prakash Chandran. So, Dr. Walsh, great to have you here today. The first question I wanted to ask you is, I understand that you work at a hospital in New Jersey, and I'd love to understand a little bit more about what it's been like for you to practice medicine during COVID-19.
It's been confusing, scary, and stressful because this is a particular disease process that we know nothing about. We know more now, but we didn't know how it would affect pregnant women. And I think that given how we nationally approached the pandemic, it was also scary for healthcare workers because people will still keep having babies and will need people to take care of them. So it was definitely a new experience. And I learned a lot about orchestrating basically public health efforts as well as about a new disease process.
Wow. I can only imagine because especially when someone is giving birth, that it's close quarters, there's a lot of blood and sweat, and there's just so much that you have to be exposed to, I mean, even throughout the process. So I'm curious as to just more details around how OBGYN hospital care has changed as a result of this pandemic.
So one of the biggest, I guess, almost fights I had in the beginning was trying to delineate the second stage of labor as an aerosolizing procedure. There was a lot of back and forth on it. And my goal was to protect my coworkers because here they are doing good work and it just didn't seem fair to them to not have the best protection that they could possibly have. So a lot of it has to do with just viewing the process as an aerosolizing procedure, implementing the protections that both the family and the healthcare workers need, and also trying to make sure that the mom, because labor and delivery is a very vulnerable time in a woman's life, still felt as though we were invested in her care. And I did start at the one end of the spectrum where I was really concerned about my coworkers, but slowly moved toward the middle where the delivery process itself is a place where the mom herself was very vulnerable, and consider that we were offering these parents just things that we would never say to a delivering mother in any other situation, such as, would you elect to be separated from your baby? Initially, no, you can't have a support person in the room, things like that.
Yeah, it's such a delicate balance to strike and also to try to facilitate that personal connection that you normally can have with these mothers, as you mentioned, at such a vulnerable time. I also understand, and I think you alluded to this, that you've been a strong advocate for just taking care of the staff and yourself. And one of the things that I've heard about is that you personally made special arrangements to keep your family safe from getting infected. I'd love for you to tell the audience a little bit more about the decisions and sacrifices that you've made to keep your family safe.
Well, you know, I wasn't completely on board with this, but my husband felt really strongly that we didn't know anything about this disease process. And here I was going into the hospital, breathing whatever air was being put out there, touching surfaces, everything. Initially, what I was doing was changing in the garage, throwing my stuff in the washing machine and heading for the showers. And I'd shower at work before I came home. And still, he was very, very worried. And we didn't know how long this was going to go on. Here we are in August and we're still well deep into the pandemic. So initially we had a talk. I said, there's no way I'm doing that. And then I started to read more and think about it more. One night I said, okay, you know what? We can talk about this. And then it kind of just sort of snowballed from there. And ultimately I moved out the next morning, went to a hotel and then found an Airbnb from there. So it wasn't something I was super happy to do. You know, I don't feel like wonderful for having done it. It's evolved from there. Eventually, we had a conversation and he said, you know, this could go on for a year. You can't exactly live away from the kids for a year or 2 years or whatever. So as we're talking, I'm actually slowly packing up the Airbnb and getting ready to move back in.
Yeah, I can't imagine what it's like to negotiate a situation like this. And it's something that the public doesn't really hear about, all the sacrifices that frontline workers need to make. Tell us a little bit about how this transition is going for you and how you go about getting support for yourself.
when we talked through it, it's not great for my kids for me to be away. Initially, I didn't see them at all except through FaceTime. And then I would talk to them through the fence. And then I said, you know, I can't do this, Rob. Rob is my husband. So now we're at the point where I hang out with them in the backyard. I wear a mask in the house, and I'm going to have to wear a mask in the house for God knows how long, and sort of isolate myself to one area of the house. At least that's what he asked. And I said, okay, we'll keep the pieces is what we'll do, because I surely don't want to get anybody sick. As far as just support goes, you know, I asked colleagues, but I got to tell you, it was really, 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 really hard.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that story. I appreciate it. And I can't imagine how difficult it is, but I just want to thank you for everything you and your staff are doing to help us and just the sacrifices that you're making. So obviously a lot has changed for you at work and providing maternal care. Do you think any of these changes will persist past COVID-19 in obstetrical care?
Once you go through this, I think there's always some little element of, I guess I'd call it PTSD. Now you kind of have to think, well, gosh, am I going to catch something from this patient to bring home to my family? It really affected, I think, the provider-patient relationship. But I am old enough to remember the tail end of the HIV and AIDS epidemic. What I really wanted to try to avoid was, I remember what a stigma that was for people at that time. And I really didn't want that to happen and affect the relationships that we had with patients go round.
Yeah, that balance is tough. Just as we close here, there will be OBGYN physicians who are listening to this who have not encountered COVID-19 positive patients. What advice might you have for them?
Try to know who the vulnerable populations are in your area. Try to know what the prevalence of the disease is in your area. And keep an eye on your own hospitals for disease prevalence, because then you know what to start looking for. Take the public health precautions seriously. Wear a mask. Observe social distancing. One of the things I really kind of get perturbed about is this is not the year to go on vacation. You know, I know we're all itching to get out of our houses, but I think one or even two seasons without a plane ride or a vacation to somewhere isn't going to hurt anyone. I think austerity now allows for a shorter time to permissiveness in our way of life later on. The more we focus on what we need to do, what we want to do right now, it will affect how soon we can get back to normal life.
I certainly think that is very good advice. You know, everyone out there, do take this seriously. Hold off on those vacations. And yeah, just be safe out there. Dr. Walsh, is there anything else that you wanted to share today before we close?
Good luck to everyone. And the flu pandemic in 1918 ended. And that's what I just keep thinking. You know, that pandemic ended. This one will too, eventually.
Yes, I believe so too. So thank you so much for your time, Dr. Walsh. I truly appreciate it. That's Dr. Susanna Walsh, OB Hospitalist at OB Hospitalist Group in New Jersey. Thanks for checking out this episode of the OB Hospitalist Group podcast series. For more information about OBHG or to join the OBHG team, visit www.obhg.com. If you found this podcast helpful, please share it on your social channels and be sure to check out the entire podcast library for topics of interest to you. Thanks, and we'll talk next time.